Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening, and thank you, Spike Reel, for that great introduction. We're going to get started with a shout-out to Gecko Productions, and I just want to give that. That's our new sponsor and a new production company, and it's just back from a nice trip to Hawaii and met some really nice folks over there. So thank you to Gecko Productions. I'm going to take a few seconds here off the top to mention octalkradio.net and their state-of-the-art studio here at the Tech Space Building in Costa Mesa, right across from South Coast Plaza, and they have a great lineup of business and community-based shows spanning many topics, so check them out, octalkradio.net. And now I'd like to introduce my first guest. He's Martin Holland from Martin Holland Action Coach, and Martin is joining us from Norman, Oklahoma. Martin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's a pleasure. We're going to talk about a topic called swapping a paycheck for a dividend check. And I'm really interested to get into that. But before we do that, Martin, we always like to start by getting to know a little bit about our guests. So could you share a little bit about your background and how you got into this particular line of work?
Well, I'm 60 years old, started working in 1974 and ran grain elevators. If your listeners are familiar with those, the tall silos out on the prairie, did that for 12 years and was bitten by the entrepreneurial bug. My dad had started companies, so I left that business, and in the interim, almost, I guess, 30 years now, have started or helped start 6 small businesses across a vast vast number of different industries.
Mm-hmm.
So always been in business, always been in small business.
So you had the entrepreneurial bug at a young age.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And I think that's true of probably the entrepreneurs that are listening.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you just have it or you don't, right? You just, it's something that is inside of you, and you just want to start companies, help people, build ideas out. And what were some of the industries that you were involved with just by way of background?
Well, the first had to do with a hydraulic downhole oil well pump for recovering oil from low volume stripper wells, which mm-hmm. your listeners may not know what those are, but
probably not.
Well, anyway, it had to do with the oil field. It was patented technology. The second thing I did was I bought a contracting company out of bankruptcy and turned it around and sold it.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I did was agricultural biotechnology with the University of Oklahoma. We took genes from tropical plants and put them in domestic plants like corn, cotton, soybeans. The next thing I did after that was a manufacturing company called Iron Wolf, and we built 700 horsepower rock grinding machines. Next business after that was a chemical business, and we worked in water treatment, worked a lot in California, making sure the water was safe. And the last thing I did was begin this coaching business when we sold that last business. So
now, in each of those industries, each of those businesses, you started with finding and identifying a need and then building a solution to those needs, correct?
Well, let's put it this way. On the successful ones we did,
mm-hmm.
it's very tempting, and entrepreneurs out there listening are going to maybe recognize them in themselves. Sometimes you find technology and fall in love with it, and there is not a market for it. And two of my companies kind of fell in that category. And that's something you have to watch against because you think it's a wonderful idea doesn't mean the market does. And of the two, a technology or a market, the more valuable is the market.
More valuable is the market. So that you have to be in tune with the market. Now, what did you learn from those experiences besides, you know, the market is king? How would you have identified that earlier?
Well, it's kind of a complex subject of identifying a market. Let me just say real quickly what I did learn from being in that vast array of completely different industries was that all businesses are identical. And as I say frequently, all businesses are identical and all businesses are unique. And, of course, that is an oxymoron. But there are things common to all businesses, no matter what the industry. That's what I do as a coach, is we work on those common factors. The things that are unique, even within the same industry, a business can be, one plumber is different from another to the work ethic, the systemization, the capital requirements, the location they're in, and so on. So that's really what I take away from having been in a lot of businesses in a lot of different areas. As for finding the market, that's the $64 million question. You always anticipate finding the market, and sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong. I don't think that it's possible to say there is the market and that with certainty. Steve Jobs didn't know the iPhone was going to take off. He had resources and he had a vision and he made it take off. But you don't really know, because the Apple Newton was out there, gosh, in early 90s, I guess, which was essentially an iPad.
Right.
But its time wasn't ready, and he didn't have apps, and he didn't have Wi-Fi, and he didn't have 4G cellular, and so it didn't happen. So even though I can tell you the market is the valuable thing to find, I'm not sure that I can tell you precisely how to go out and find it. If it were that easy, we'd have a lot more billionaire entrepreneurs.
Yeah, that makes total, I mean, no. Let's suffice it to say, nobody started a company with the intention of failing.
That's correct.
Right.
Correct.
Right. But
and I think it was Henry Ford who said one time, in discovering a market, you know, I asked your customers, he said, hey, if I asked my customers before the Model A or Model T, I guess, they would have told me what they wanted was faster horses. So he had to have the vision, and he had to have it make it work. And
excellent.
And I certainly didn't know I wanted an iPad until, what, 4 years ago. And now I've got them all over the place. So,
absolutely. So the important aspect for the leader, the entrepreneur, is having that vision and then giving it a go and seeing, you know, refining, and hopefully maybe things line up and it takes off. Well, so now we're going to talk about your transition over to coaching, because it sounds like you transitioned over and did something that we call rewire, which is something we talk about a lot, which is, you know, people aren't ready to retire. They want to change their lives. They want to rewire. So how and why did you get into coaching?
Well, I had sold the last company about 5 years ago, worked for them for a year as a COO, had been the CEO and worked as a COO, and decided they were moving it to another very large city. I didn't want to move. So I said, okay, I'm just going to go out. And I really wasn't thinking about starting another business, because it can be exhausting.
Yes.
And so I thought, well, I'll go out and write business plans for people, which I've written many, many business plans. And I met a coach in Oklahoma, and talking to him, and he said, I'm a coach. I said, well, that's what I'm going to go do, write business plans. He said, well, they're not the same thing. So I looked into it a little bit more and found out they indeed are not the same thing. And I said, boy, that's for me. And I just wish I had two things. I wish I'd had a coach all the years that I was on my own, and I wish I'd started coaching sooner, because this is the most rewarding, fun job I've ever had in my life.
That's fantastic. We're going to take a quick break, Martin, when we're going to come back and ask you to share some stories and some tips, ideas, and precautions that our listeners can use. So we'll be right back.
Business succession and exit planning is hard, and everyone says you should start early. But where can you hear a lot of ideas from a lot of professionals so you can decide what's best for you? At ExitCoachRadio.com, we're interviewing over 150 advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Are you frustrated by sales mediocrity? Do something about it. Sandler Training by Bailey Marketing Concepts, Inc. has been affiliated with Sandler Training and the Sandler Sales Institute since 1994, serving clients in Orange, Riverside, and Los Angeles counties. Scott Bailey and Will Christ have nearly 30 years of combined experience selling, training, and coaching their clients in the Sandler selling methodology. Their clients range from one-person companies and professional consultants who must build their practices to Fortune 100 publicly traded multinationals. Many of their clients have been working and training with them for over 10 years. Ask for their free white paper entitled 10 Things That Can Get in the Way of Sales Success. Call Scott Bailey at 949-263-0640. That's 949-263-0640.
Just a reminder that we've interviewed dozens of advisors on a wide variety of topics, and you'll find all of their interviews and highlights online at exitcoachradio.com or on iTunes at itunes.exitcoachradio.com. And I'm talking with Martin Holland. And Martin, before the break, we talked about your transition to coaching and how you always, now you found out that you really, coaching is not just writing a business plan, it's much more than that. And you mentioned that you wish you had had a coach. Now, why did you say that and share with us what coaching is?
Well, I think that the distilled to its essence, what coaching is making up for the weaknesses in business owners. Weakness probably is not a good word, but what I have found is the vast, vast majority of small businesses are very good at what they do. They're a good restaurant, a good doctor, a good architect, good lawyer. They're very good at what they do, but they are very weak on business fundamentals. And that's where they fall down, or if they don't fail, that's where they fail to thrive. Coaching is making them aware of those things and helping guide them to become good at them. Because if you couple somebody who's competent at what they do with business fundamentals, not some genius voodoo, just business fundamentals, they can really explode. And I think that's the essence of what I do as a coach, make them aware of that and help them get good at it.
So you come in and assess where everything is and look for the blind spots maybe that have been hampering a business, but also sometimes, for instance, I think of a golf coach, sometimes you have to break the swing right back down to the very basic fundamentals and start over again. Do you find that a lot of business owners need to break it right back down and say, look, let's rebuild the foundation, or is it sometimes just a tweak, or is it really vary?
I've never had a tweak. It's almost always. Sometimes when you walk in and begin with somebody new, there is something urgent, and typically it's going to be cash flow or a sales or cash flow, that type of thing that you have to do triage on. But almost every single time, we have to go all the way back to the fundamentals and begin. I can't think of an example where that didn't happen.
And that's just, again, back to what we were talking about earlier, about the entrepreneur who has the vision but doesn't necessarily have the overall knowledge of how to build from the beginning.
Yes.
So they've built a faulty foundation.
Yes. I ask a question in case somebody's listening, and if sometimes people feel bad about that. And I say, why would you feel bad? Why would you expect to know these things? No training, no exposure. I'm going to jump in. You can pay a few bucks to your state, and now you're a business. Well,
right.
Why would you know anything?
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. And so what are some examples of some of the ways that you've come into a business? Maybe you share a client story with us.
Well, I'll tell you, I've got a couple that come to mind, and a lady we'll call Vicky, and the reason we call her that is because that's her name. But I met her a few years ago, and she had been in business for 30 years, which is an element of success right there. But she was worn out. She was going to quit and going to close her business, not sell it, close it. We met, and as we started looking at things we put in processes, caused her to understand her accounting a little better. Anyway, within a year, her profits were up 73%. She had hired a general manager, and she no longer was active day-to-day in the business. And that's just a huge thing for her because she was just going to close it, have an auction, and walk away. Another one, a guy named Bob, had a service business, but when we applied fundamentals and began to see what made him money, what didn't make him money, how to operate his business properly, we actually wound up reducing his sales by 37% over a year, But that had the effect of increasing his net profits by, I'm looking here, 981%.
Wow.
And so it's that's where the fundamentals come in. A lot of business people think they're after sales. Well, it's not sales you're after. It's net profit. And anyway, that's a subtlety. It's not that subtle, but it is, in fact, subtle.
It's a mouthful is what it is.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean,
yeah, so there are a lot of circumstances like that. And these are not, I'm not a guru. We just come in and apply business fundamentals.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people, like you say, they're just go, go, go. They think more is always better, and sometimes it's just not the case. Or more can lead to burnout for a lot of these entrepreneurs who are just they're applying themselves to the business and working harder and harder and harder, and pretty soon 20 years goes by and they don't really have a life.
Right, and that's your lead-in mentions an exit strategy, and I have a paper I've written on that subject, and that you must have an exit strategy, and you must have it now. And it's not for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, although that's there too, but it's for what it makes of your company now and what will make the difference it will make in your life. And the reason is buying a company can be very complex. When you're going to sell a company, you can hear all kinds of things, but it's really simple. A prospective buyer wants profits, future profits, sufficient to justify his investment, and he does not want a bunch of headaches, which means he doesn't want to run his business. Well, if you think about it, isn't that the same thing you want as a business owner? I want profits, and I don't want a bunch of headaches. So if you create a business with a sound exit strategy that makes your business attractive to a buyer, you've created a business that's very attractive to you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, and in some cases, like your client Vicky, all of a sudden now your business is a beautiful thing again, not something that's really you're looking at saying this is ruining my life. It's enhancing.
Where she's collecting a dividend check now. She literally is, as opposed to a paycheck. Paycheck is trading time for money, and that's the definition of a job. As a business owner, you should be paid for having taken the risk and had the idea and bearing the responsibility and the burden, and that's a dividend check. And if you, in your business, are compelled to show up every day, now there's nothing wrong with a job, it's highly honorable, but if you're going to show up and trade time, you need to get a dividend check and a paycheck. A lot of business owners don't think that way, and they think, if I need to do it, I need to be the person who leads the troops in the charge, first one over the wall. Well, there's some merit to being willing to do that, but that's not the highest and best use of your time. You're not leveraged at all.
Well,
so what Vicky did literally was trade out her paycheck for a dividend check, and she's loving her life now.
And that's a great story, and it's a great analogy, and something that all business owners should think about is you have capital at risk in your business, and you should get paid for that. You should get a paycheck, and then you should think about divisible surplus with other employees who have helped you get
Absolutely.
There, right?
Absolutely.
Now, that's in a perfect world. Of course, 2008 took a lot of those dividends away for a lot of people, but in a normal situation, that's what you're striving for. Martin, we have about 2 minutes left, and this is a segment where we really like to find out some tips, ideas, and precautions for our listeners. What can you share with us?
Number one is, I have a three-point thing that I talk to all my clients about, and it is for their lives as well as their business. But the number one absolute imperative is that you must accept that your future is up to you. It's not the fault of the economy. It's not Obama's fault. It's not Bush's fault. It's not taxes' fault. It's up to you to improve yourself, improve your business. And you must accept that wholeheartedly. The second thing that you have to do is decide what you want with clarity. Brian Tracy says the foundation of all success, both personal and private, is clarity. Yogi Berra says, if you don't know where you're going, you're likely to wind up somewhere else. But one, accept that you're responsible. Two, decide what you want. Three, take a step in the direction toward what you want. that might be buying a book, it might be hiring a coach, it might be listening to CDs or Exit Coach Radio, but take a step in the right direction. Success is a process. It is not an event. It never happens like the lottery, ever. It is always just step by step, incremental improvement. And I think that's the biggest lesson that's a little esoteric and people kind of going, yeah, give me the secret. Well, that is the secret. But it takes effort, takes time, and it takes intent. I think that's the biggest eye-opener to the people I talk to, accepting that sometimes.
Effort, time, and intent. Very clear, very concise. Great information. It's been a pleasure talking with you, Martin. How do our listeners get in touch with you?
My email is martinholland@actioncoach.com, and that's my website is www.coachmartinholland.com. And I've got some great testimonial videos on there. You can hear more than just the ones I talked about.
Great, clear advice, and very, very much a pleasure to talk with you. And I feel like we just scratched the surface in this 20 minutes, but I'd really like to give you a call sometime again and go deeper with you, Martin. Thanks very much.
My pleasure. You bet.
I've been talking with Martin Holland of Martin Holland Action Coach from Norman, Oklahoma, and we're going to take a short break, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.